Chairman, I've got a question about a broader question about China. I notice we've got the big Chinese neon lights on the cover of the annual report this year. Can you tell us, have we had any discussions with Chinalco since they bought that 9% stake through the PLC shares? I'd also like an update on what the situation is with the spot price embargo, where the reports are that the Chinese are refusing to take our shipments that are on the spot price and accusing us of ripping them off and breaking contracts and things like that. Can you give us an update on where that standoff is currently at? I was also curious to read in the Financial Review that I think Tom Albanese, our CEO, was at the Chinese Leadership Dialogue and had prepared a written text of a speech to be delivered to the Chinese leadership, which was really going to give it to them, where Tom was going to tell them in that sort of brash American way how they should run down their foreign reserves and manage the currency more effectively and these sorts of things. And then he actually decided, when in the room, not to deliver that speech and actually delivered a speech that was somewhat more delicate and diplomatic. Can we actually hear what happened there? Because I was a bit disturbed to read in the press that we seem to be going in boots and all with the Chinese when we clearly need to be showing a lot of finesse in the way we manage this vital relationship. Final point, Chairman. On this question about our relationship with China, I think it does come back to this where the domicile is, that Kevin Rudd, the new Prime Minister of Australia, does seem to have a special relationship with China, speaks Mandarin, the only world leader who does. Tom met with Kevin Rudd in London recently to discuss iron ore and various things like that. And don't you think that it would perhaps be in our interests to be an Australian-domiciled country when we have this special relationship through our Mandarin-speaking Prime Minister, to help us in our negotiations in China rather than the British company with the brash American CEO going in boots and all?
Right. I don't know whether to take my jacket off or not for this. But you make a number of points, and we're going to give you a clear answer to all of them, which I will do with some help. And Tom can certainly give you his own personal blog on the China Development Forum, which took place in Beijing, which he attended, and I think that's the meeting to which you refer. Well, I'm sorry you didn't like the annual report. I thought it was quite an exciting cover, and it somehow projected a vitality and the extent to which Asia is very much sort of part of our business. So I'm sorry you can't give us a better mark for artistic impression, but we'll keep trying on that. As far as Chinalco are concerned, we... as I think is clear, did not solicit their shareholding in Rio Tinto PLC. They did actually come to see us the day after the day after they took the investment, and that was a very cordial and friendly discussion, during which they explained very clearly what their objectives were, seeing Rio Tinto as a long-term strategic investment in a very high-quality, very well-managed company. There was no pressure whatsoever from their side for participation in our management, seats on our board, or anything of that nature, since which there have been no discussions with them. And we look forward to seeing how that develops. But factually, that's the position. I'm going to ask Sam if he will address the question of spot-priced cargoes of iron ore, in as much as you are able to respond to that, recognizing that this is a very important negotiation process. Not only for the company, but also because of its significance for Australia. A few words on that, Sam, in as much as you're able.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman. Obviously, iron ore negotiations are a very complex and involved and a lengthy process. These negotiations are particularly important due to the fact that we believe that the settlement by Vale, the Brazilian company, previously known as CVRD, didn't in fact reflect the strength of the market, and from our viewpoint certainly did not reflect the significant advantage that we give the Chinese customers in terms of the freight content associated with the delivery of our ore. Our ore is the cheapest or lowest cost ore delivered into China, and we believe that our current price is not reflecting that. Hence, our request for a price increase that reflects the higher band of the Vale increase and then recognition of the freight differential on top of that. In relation to our spot contracts and the comment that Mr. Main made in relation to our breaking contracts, we have not broken any contract. In fact, we have religiously maintained the terms of our agreements. Over time, both parties have taken advantage of the terms of contracts with various options to either increase or decrease the amount associated with the contracts. In this particular case, with some of our customers in China, we have exercised minus options. That plus additional volume that we've produced has allowed us to announce back in December that we plan to ship up to 15 million tonnes of spot during this year. And in fact, in terms of that announcement that I made, we are tracking, in fact, with our spot shipments. There has been a lot of speculation and comments in the media, both about the negotiations and, in fact, in relation to the spot shipments. Some of that is accurate. Some of it, or a lot of it, is fact inaccurate and doesn't, in fact, reflect the true situation in relation to the market. But please be assured, in terms of your comments about the need for sensitivity in relation to negotiation with our customers, that we do, in fact, take a very sensitive and thoughtful approach to the negotiations. What we are seeing is part of the normal argy-bargy of the arm wrestling that goes on in relation to negotiations. And I expect that in due course it will reach a settlement that, in fact, will be satisfactory to both parties.
Thank you, Sam. Perhaps I just touch the end part of your question on domicile, then I'll hand it over to Tom to talk about the meeting in Beijing. I don't think, actually, the fact that ours is an Anglo-Australian company in any way impairs our commercial relationship with a very broad base of Chinese customers. I think there's recognition that iron ore, which Sam's been talking about, is essentially coming primarily from Australia. We have Chinese investors already in one or two of our mining operations in a minority. We remain always in close dialogue and consultation with the Australian government about matters of important commercial interest. Tom and I were fortunate to have a very good conversation with your Prime Minister during his recent visit to London, and both of us meet regularly with ministers of the federal and state governments. And I think that there is a perfect understanding and alignment between all parties as to the course we are following at any point in time. I think myself it is actually remarkable that Australia now has a Prime Minister who is a fluent Mandarin speaker. That's not always been the case in the past. And he's setting a pretty high bar for anybody who follows him in that sense. But I don't think you should worry about nationality issues when it comes to securing Australia's economic interest from products in which Rio Tinto is involved. The Beijing meeting.
Thank you. Yes, maybe if I could just provide a little bit of a backdrop. Once a year, this is the ninth year running.
A short backdrop.
Short backdrop. The China Development Forum meets as a group of international companies of all types around the world. Rio Tinto was one of the founding companies of that, only a few that have been involved. 9 years ago, before China was so fashionable, we began to take a serious look and develop these types of relationships on engaging in economic dialogue, understanding growth patterns with policymakers within China. And again, the fact that we've been involved with that for 9 years shows that this is something that's been very much a part of our strategic thinking and our predecessors' strategic thinking. As usual with a forum like this, they're interactive. Questions come through during the course of a couple days, and we're always asked to provide some written script up front. During the course of the 3 days, I was really encouraged by some of the questions I was getting. I mean, one question, for example, would have been, you know, with all of this growth we expect of China, do you see enough copper in the world, period, to meet this? Now, as a miner, we'd like to hear that kind of question because that really shows, what we can supply that there is a demand for. So I certainly saw the value in scripting that type of question and presenting a reply to that type of question in my comments, which is what I did. And again, I think it's important to recognize that the key message I wanted to get when I was in China with this China Development Forum was the fact that Chinese companies will be investing overseas one way or the other, with Rio Tinto or not, and that we can create competitive advantage for Rio Tinto shareholders by creating a joint venture type structure which can bring in, say, senior SOEs, state-owned enterprise within China, but under Rio Tinto conditions around sustainable development, environmental principles, worker safety. And this can create a win-win situation that I think is good for Rio Tinto and certainly good for Rio Tinto shareholders.